How would you try to exclude that under the three-prong test? Can you get there?
Like a
trader business, regularly carried on, not substantially related. Could you exclude it by using the three-prong test and not get to 513i and try to...
What was the activity?
We're going to do a credit card that...
Oh, credit card, sure, yeah. Well, again, use of the name or logo, right? We've got a royalty situation.
Yeah, so we'd go to
exclusion. We could go to the exclusions, right?
Could we ever get to, without even getting to one of the exclusions, could we just do it as not a trader business? Could we look at continuity, or could we look at there's no profit motive? Or
right, that's the first place I would agree. The first place you're going to look is, are you conducting a trader business? Is it regular carried on? Do you have a profit motive? Now, something like an ongoing card, clearly regular carried on, but yeah, you could question on some of those other aspects. Is it really, are we trying to make a profit on this, or are we not? And again, was it related? Now, cards are going to be tough to be related.
Yeah, so, yeah, and so I guess, you know, I think it's frequent that on that list of items, you know, I don't have as many opportunities under the three prongs.
Correct.
I generally am looking elsewhere.
Yeah, you want to make money on it, so let's look to how can we exclude it, right? So
yes.
513i is a safe harbor, right? So just because you don't fit in it doesn't mean you have UBIT. And that's one of the common misconceptions. You're like, well, we have substantial return benefits. Well, that's fine, as we just mentioned, royalties.
Yeah.
So I like to think of this analysis as a three-step process. So I start with, what am I giving this third party, this we'll call them a sponsor? What are they getting in return for the payment they're making to the university? And I have to go through those items. So the first thing is to get that contract, make a laundry list of what we're giving up. What are we, the institution, giving up? Mm-hmm. That's step one. Step two, what are all those things worth? What is the fair market value of each of those benefits we're giving this third party? Now, some people like to start with step three instead of step two as the second step, because step three is, what's the taxability of each of those benefits? But theoretically, and we're recording this, you shouldn't let whether it's taxable or not, influence the fair market value analysis, right? It's got a fair market value, whether it's taxable or not taxable. And so first, what are we giving the third party? How much are each of those benefits worth? And what is the tax status of each of those benefits?
Do you do that for use and acknowledgement as well?
For everything. Look at that contract. What am I giving up?
Yeah.
And what is that third party getting as a benefit?
Yeah. In fact, I created a simple one pager that made it kind of something that the institution could understand. I had an arrow on the top of a single sheet of paper. I have sponsor and university. I have an arrow with a dollar sign pointing towards the university. And I say, money's coming in, and then we're giving something else, and I make them list them all on a single sheet of paper of all the things that we're giving back to the third party.
Yeah. Right, and remember, we just have to make good faith valuation of those items. And I'll repeat this later, because I've learned that half the time, half of you aren't paying attention, and at a tax conference, it's even more. So allocate. If you remember one word from the next hour, it's allocate. Because guess who allocates if you don't? Oh, I forgot. I'm not allowed to ask questions. It's not a class. Well, I'll ask Kyle. Kyle, who would do the allocation if we don't do it?
I think it would be the IRS.
It would be the IRS.
Liberty with that.
And it's right in the regulation. So it's right there in the regulation. If you don't allocate, they can say none of it's qualified sponsorship, or they can do the allocation. I don't think you want them doing the allocation.
Joe, do you do the allocation, or do you ask the department to?
That's great. I start and I say, okay, what are you giving up? How much is this coach appearance worth, right? And there's a website you can figure out. Is your coach a tier one, a tier two, a tier three? There are places to go to look for sources of value for some of these items that we're coming up with. So I would start with going to you, the department that has the contract, and say, well, you're giving up X number of tickets. Those are, yeah, they're related, but we still have to know what they're worth, because they're going to be a substantial return benefit. Remember, we have to, and we'll go through this analysis, but so the background, if we were 30 years ago, we'd be 25 years ago. Actually, the statute is now 25 years old. So if this conference had been held 27 years ago, we'd be going back and forth about, you know, all started down here with the cotton bowl, what's taxable, what's not, an IRS announcement. We started off with, do we look to the FCC rules? And then finally, we got the section. Another reason I like 513i is we got the code section, we've got the regulations, and we've got just a few very little guidance out there beyond the regulations and the code. Really not substantial case law in this area, really not a few couple TAMs or PLRs out there that you can look to for some of these things. But we pretty have a pretty contained area of the law. And we get into some very gray areas. In fact, when going through the material, I found a letter from the year 2000. When we get into this, what is an established part of your identity? We're going to get into that discussion, right? And here we had a large fast food chain, remain nameless, Wendy's, who was wanting to use that quality as our recipe, right? That's what they put on their little sign everywhere. And, of course, the question was, is that an established part of their identity? Because as many of you know, we're going to get to that exclusion, right? Yeah. So a lot of these questions like that, and we're going to be talking about as we go through some examples, and we'll be asking your opinions, and we'll give you our opinions. And I always like to say, if there's any doubt, why not take the safe route when you're planning, right? You're going to take a different position in planning than you might take in an audit. And so two things that I like to do is make sure in the contract itself with these third parties, we have approval language. Mm-hmm. And so before you do anything on a sign, in a program, anywhere, any message, got to send it to Kyle, let him look at it, and he will decide whether it's approved for UT. And he has 30 days from the time you give it to him to decide whether he's going to approve it or not. And then sometimes it's a negotiation. We used to have this with our athletics attorney would come to me and say, what do you think of this slogan? What do you think of this idea? And we'd bounce it back and forth and then say, well, there's some risk.